sharing our joys and concerns. If you have anything to share, please raise your hand, and one of the ushers will bring a mic to you.
Good morning, I'm Pam Thornton. A lot of you know Charles and Marie Bauer. I received a message this morning that Marie had emergency 3-hour surgery yesterday for abdominal problems, and she was going in this morning for more surgery. So if you could keep her in your prayers, please.
Darvin Schroeder, remembering in prayer this morning, Mildred Schroeder, who departed this life without sign or prior signal on the morning of February 6, 1989. Thank you.
Hi, Don Mitchum, and for the past year I have been helping to drive someone, occasionally a handicapped lady, to some shopping and enjoying it, and she's needing more help now. And if anybody would be interested in knowing how they might help this friend of mine, you can talk with me. Looking for drivers especially who can take her places.
Hi, I'm Linda Jones, and many of you probably remember Damon Rager, who was a member here, and he moved out to Colorado Springs to be near his daughter, who was going to have a new grandson. And after he was born, he's been in the hospital. Well, it was on Facebook yesterday that he is getting to come home after 65 days in the hospital. So prayers that it's all going to stay good.
I wanted to lift up that early yesterday morning, Mary Rohr passed away. She's been very faithfully attending since my time here. And last couple months, you may have seen Mary sitting in the back in a wheelchair. And so we have a wheelchair out this morning in her honor. We want to be praying for Mary's family. And as of now, they're planning to do a service later on in her hometown of Winterset.
God of compassion, thank you for bringing us together on this wintry day, for giving us time to fellowship and to welcome those who are strangers here today. Thank you for those who inspire us with their words or with their music. Celebrate with us the joys in our life. We bring before you the issues in our lives that seem beyond our capacity to resolve, the spoken and unspoken requests. Comfort those who are sick, those who are suffering a loss, those who are lonely, having financial or job-related issues, and those who are different from us. Walk with those who cannot see the end of their journey. Embrace any who don't know where to turn, that our restless hearts may find peace in you. We recognize there are things that make us burn with anger, especially with all the political stuff that is going on right now. Give us the grace to change our minds and respect those whose convictions might not agree with ours. Make us a merciful people, hearts and minds, empowered by your forgiveness and inspired by your promise of everlasting life. We bring these things to you in your holy name. Now we pray as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our first scripture reading today is from John 6, verses 1 through 14. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "When are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they all sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." God's word for God's people. Now it's time for the children to come forward to hear what Pastor Heather has to say. Good morning, guys. Now, were you listening to the story that Pat just read?
I know the story.
You know the story? What is it a story about then? It's kind of a story of, what's this?
A basket.
Do you know what kind of basket it is? What kind of basket does it kind of look like?
A picnic basket.
The story we just heard is kind of the story of Jesus having a picnic with 5,000 people. And so let's open up my picnic basket today, see what we got. I have this. Yep, that's exactly what it says. It says, give us this day our daily bread. And that's the section of the Lord's Prayer that we're going to talk about today, which is why we read a story about Jesus feeding people bread. But actually, I have some bread with me this morning. I've got two different kinds. Do you want a snack? Are you hungry? All right. So the story says that Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he distributed it. So here's some. Do you want pita bread or you want the white bread? You want the white bread? You too, Fiona. Do you want this piece of bread too? Or do you want the other bread? Here you go, Fiona. You want a snack? There you go. There you go. So now Jesus distributed this, and it was a miracle, and it was amazing. And there's all sorts of different accounts of Jesus eating food with his friends and different accounts of bread in the Bible. But one thing maybe you don't know, and I just want to share this fact with you, was that back in Jesus' day, they did not have forks and spoons. They didn't eat with those. They ate with their hands. And if there was something like a little bit of stew left over at the bottom of the plate, what do you think they used to get it? They put the bowl up and slurped it? Maybe. What's another option? What's another option? Bread. They used the bread to help them get the food to their mouth. That was their primary way of getting food to the mouth. They used their fingers, and then they used the bread to get food to their mouth. So when Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread, and when Jesus gave people bread to eat, it was a really important thing to give them because they didn't have forks and spoons. They were using the bread. It was a vital part of their meal, just like when you eat a sandwich without bread is just some meat and cheese and lettuce, right? Bread is really important to it. So I want to give you a challenge this week. If your parents say yes, I want you to try to eat a meal without a fork and a spoon. Try and eat it with bread. So maybe like a stew would be a good meal, something like that. Try to eat a meal with bread to help you get it to your food and see how much of a mess you make or how much of a mess you can stop from making. You think you could try that this week? Does that sound fun? Got to pick the right meal, I think. Aaron's like, no, that doesn't sound fun. Pick the right meal and maybe you can make it work. So let's offer a prayer. And you guys are all chewing, so I'll just do it, okay? You can keep enjoying your little bit of bread. Dear God, we thank you so much for your son, Jesus, and for the miracles that he did. We thank you for the reminder of how important bread was and how important it is that we ask you to give us this day our daily bread, exactly. Dear God, we pray for all of those who don't get bread today and don't get food, and we pray that we can help feed them and that they can know that they are loved by you and they can get their daily bread today. Amen. All right, you guys go back to your seats. Thank you. Thanks for enjoying a picnic with me. Our second scripture reading for this morning is also from John 6. So we're really kind of in the same extended story after Jesus has fed the 5,000. We're skipping over the part where Jesus walks on water, and we're going ahead to the next day. And so we're verses 25 through 26 and then 30 through 35. And it's referring to the crowds. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." And then skipping down to verse 30. So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. We're in week two of our February sermon series, The Heart of Prayer. We're talking about how we can grow in our prayer life, grow in our relationship with God, grow at just getting better at prayer. We're doing that by getting back to the basics, to the very heart of prayer, and we're talking about the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, what we now call the Lord's Prayer. Last week, we talked about recognizing that God is God and we are not, thank goodness. And out of that humility, then we ask for God's will to be done through us wherever we might find ourselves. Today, we come to the line, "Give us this day our daily bread." I think when most of us think about prayer, we think about the kinds of prayer that Jesus was lifting up here in this section of the Lord's Prayer. Prayers that we call supplication or prayer requests. Specific askings of God to intervene in the world, to bless us, to change the world, to make whatever we want to happen. "Give us this day our daily bread." We pray like Jesus. And whether we think about it consciously or not, I think we all have many prayer requests that we lift up to God throughout the day. They may feel more like wishes or longings or desires, but we all find ourselves wanting more, wanting specific things, wanting the world to be a certain way. "Give us this day our daily bread," Jesus said. Like I said with the children a few minutes ago, in Jesus' day, bread was seen in a very different way than we do in modern Western culture. For us, bread is an extra. It's something that is delicious, but it's not necessarily needed. How many of us have cut out bread and carbs when on a diet? That's usually the first thing that you cut out. Bread is a luxury. A bread roll is a side dish. But in Jesus' day, bread was essential to the process of eating. I remember when I was in seminary, one of my friends and classmates prepared a meal for a few of us after worship one day. He's from Pakistan. And he made, I think it was a stew, and there was some flatbread with it, and he literally broke the bread, and he gave it to us. And he told us that this is how people in his culture eat. They break the bread and they share it, and they eat their food with the bread. "Give us this day our daily bread." It might ring more strongly for us in the West as "give us this day our meat and potatoes." Bread shows up in a lot of really important places in Scripture. It reminds us of God's blessings, God's workings in the world, and God providing for people who saw no other way. And the story that I wanted to share today was of the famous feeding of the 5,000. Now, we're going to talk about it a lot next month if you read Dr. Amy Jill Levine's book, Entering the Passion of Jesus, which is our Lenten sermon series. She talks about it several times in the book, that in the four different Gospels in the Bible, you get four different accounts of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. They don't all tell the same stories or all have the same order or get all the same details identical. So I always feel that when the same story shows up in all four Gospels, it means we should perk up our ears and we should pay attention, because it's a very important story that's vital to how the early Christians understood Jesus and his ministry. And so the feeding of the 5,000 is such a story. It is found in all four Gospels. I would say that this is one of the miracles that is very likely to have happened. The story was being passed around a lot. And I think that the way that John tells this story in John's Gospel, it tells us a few things about how our prayer requests to God go. The first thing is that God sees us and God knows what we want and what we need. Scripture reads, when Jesus looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where do we buy bread for these people to eat?" Jesus noticed. Jesus wasn't too in his head, too unaware, too divine to see the very human needs of those who had gathered around him for teaching and for healing. Don't you think that God recognizes our needs in the same way? Don't you think that even before our stomach starts rumbling or our bank account starts to drain, that God notices what we need and how to bless us? God is not too far removed to see the world. God recognizes our human needs and our wishes, and God's ears perk up. God pays attention. God is aware of what we need and what we are wishing for. Jesus' question to his disciples seems like sort of a quiz or a hypothetical question. Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat? But Andrew does speak up. He speaks up in a really timid way that betrays a doubt in his own line of thinking. He says, "There's a child here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Do you hear the uncertainty? Do you hear that Andrew doesn't have much faith that his observations will lead to much? That he doesn't have the faith that such a small offering will make a difference in the world? But he's wrong. And Jesus shows us another truth about our prayer requests. Sometimes we become the answer to another's prayers. When we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," God will sometimes send someone with a basket of bread to our door. And when others pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," God will at times send us with a basket of bread to their door. The answer to this need begins with our willingness to be the answer to someone's prayer. Are you aware of that? Are you listening to the prayers of others? Are you ready to be a part of God's response to the needs of others? Are we hearing the prayers of the hungry, the tired, the overworked, the disenfranchised, the justice seekers, the homeless, the underemployed, the in debt up to their eyeballs, who are asking God for blessings just for today? Are we prepared to answer those prayers as small and meager as our own baskets of bread may seem to be? God does work a miracle over the small offering of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. If you haven't looked at our stained glass window recently, you'll see that 5 loaves and 2 fishes are here on our big stained glass window. They're emblems as a reminder of the way that God and Jesus work miracles. An interesting factoid is that in the other Gospels, Jesus delegates the task of handing out the bread and the fish to the gathered crowd of 5,000 people. But in John's Gospel, Jesus does it himself. Jesus physically hands the bread to those who are around him in need of food and sustenance. Doesn't this show us that God provides? God answers our prayers. God hears us and responds. Elsewhere in Scripture, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "Ask and you will receive. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you, for anyone who asks receives. Whoever seeks finds. Who among you who would give your children a stone when they ask for bread? Or give them a snake when they ask for fish? If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" God answers our prayers. God blesses us when we call on God's name. But this actually gets us into a tricky place when we're talking about prayer requests and asking God to give us this day our daily bread. What about when God doesn't answer our prayers? What about when God doesn't behave like Santa Claus or a cosmic vending machine? What about when our prayers appear to go unanswered? I would imagine each of us here has a story about a prayer request that has been very clearly answered by God. And I would imagine each of us has a story about a prayer request that has been very clearly answered no by God. Times when you have felt like your prayers weren't heard by God and that you were screaming at an empty room. Psalm 13 is a prayer that has been cried out over the centuries since it was written. How long will you forget me, Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I be left to my own wits, agony filling my heart? Daily? How long will my enemy keep defeating me? How many of you have also prayed a prayer like that? How many of you have felt abandoned by God? Every time I hear of another account of mass gun violence, that's my first prayer. How long, O Lord, how long? Our prayers are not always answered yes by God. At times, our prayers do not get the answers that we want. At times, those asking God for daily bread go to sleep hungry. That was the reality for the majority of the people who were sitting with Jesus on the mountainside in Luke when he taught his followers how to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Perhaps as many as 70% of those listening when Jesus first shared the Lord's Prayer, those people were barely scraping out a living. Everything they earned going from hand to mouth. How could they wish for more than what God would bless them with that very day? How could they imagine saving money and storing up treasures on earth? So it's no wonder that the crowd who had been fed by Jesus in John's gospel came back to him the next day and they asked for another sign. They had rarely eaten their fill before. What sign are you going to give us so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They had a taste of a miracle, of God answering their prayers, and they wanted more. God had fed their ancestors before, and the wilderness had provided for all of their needs each and every day. God had provided their daily bread yesterday, but what about today? Jesus pretty harshly rebukes them. And I think as a far-removed reader, it's very easy to do the same thing for us. Jesus reminds them that they are coming to him not for the relationship, not because of salvation, but to fill their stomachs. They are seeing him as a cosmic vending machine, and that's not the point of prayer. We don't ask God for things because we think that we are owed them. Prayer requests are not the only part of prayer. There is more to a life of prayer than just a list of demands. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew and in Luke. And here in John, Jesus identifies himself not as Moses, who worked with God to bring about manna, bread from heaven. Jesus identifies himself as the bread of life. Jesus isn't the miracle worker. Jesus is the miracle. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. If the most important prayer request is give us this day our daily bread, if what Jesus wanted us to ask God for was our daily bread, then can we not draw the conclusion that the most important thing to ask God for was that which was necessary, that which God wishes to give us, that which is already in God's heart, that which is God, the divine, Jesus himself? Give me this day the bread of life. Give me Jesus. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have this whole world. Give me Jesus. Are we asking daily for Jesus? Are we asking daily to know Jesus better, to know his heart better, to have the things that Jesus would have so we can better love and serve him? Are we asking for the living bread where we will never be hungry again, or are we asking for the bread that gets old and stale and rots when we hoard it all for ourselves? Is our prayer to give us Jesus, only Jesus? God wants to hear our prayer requests, to know what is on our hearts so we can fully open our hearts and our lives to God, to know God better. God wants us to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Then all these things will be given to us. Not because we are more deserving of having our prayers answered, not because we are more holy or more righteous, but because when we first seek God's kingdom and God's will, when we open our heart to God in prayer, the things that we end up praying for are to partner with God in ministry. The prayers of our hearts are the same as the prayers of God's heart, and God wants to help answer those prayers that bring about God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day what we need. Give us this day the opportunity to answer another person's prayer. Give us this day the chance to see you work miracles. Give us this day the living bread. Give us this day Jesus. And what more could we ask for from God? Amen. As God has given so generously to us, we are asked to give back to God all that we are and all that we have. One way that we do this is through the sharing of our tithes and offerings. So I ask you to give out of thanksgiving and love. And another way that we give is through the offering of our gifts. And so Don Mitchum is going to share a song with us this morning.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our trespasses. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is.
Thank you.
I wanted to close with that song. It's a popular song, I think, with some as giving thanks before a meal. So I want to encourage you to, throughout this week, give thanks for your daily bread before you eat. Thank God for the prayers that have been answered. And I think our physically how we stand when we pray can really make a huge difference in how we pray. And so a prayer of give us this day our daily bread is a prayer with hands cupped forward and asking for God's blessings and God's bounty to be given to us. So maybe try that as well this week as you lift up your prayers to God, as you lift up your heart, pray for everything and anything, but I hope that you also pray that God would give you Jesus. May you have a blessed week as you go out into the world to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Peace be with you.